Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Sci Podcast. It is indeed a show about Black science fiction and fantasy and helping us say... Ben just started rubbing my neck, which is super cute. And helping us stay on the same page as a family. It is 6 a.m. and we are recording this show before our kid wakes up. So let's do our absolute best to make sure she stays asleep. Today for episode 124, we'll be talking about ourselves. You changed this. And what we're reading together, which is Africa Written. So we are currently on week 3. Nope. We are currently on week 6 of Africa Risen. But yeah, a lot of talking about us. Before we really dive into the book that we've been reading for...
We're mostly just going to talk about us.
No. Because I really want to talk about that third story. But yeah, we can't talk about us as well. Yeah. Some people that we always want to shout out and thank are the patrons. Special shout out to these patrons: Ivy Ellis, Christina, Tanya, Whitney Marie, Ferdaz, Nikki, Tanisha Roberson, Raylan Miller, and Blakely Larson. Blakely Larson, that's right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ben and I just got worried because we just saw that little head pop up on the baby monitor. But we're going to keep it pushing. She's back down again. Ben, What's been going on with you, baby? How's that dad life been treating you?
Oh, yeah, dad life is the only life for me. It's what I do daily. Yesterday, I made you some fish. Usually, I fuck up fish terribly.
How do you fuck up fish?
They taste like rubber. Like, I maybe don't dry it too much, so there's too much water, so it has a rubbery texture. But yesterday I made some fish, and it tasted so good, and I was so proud. And then I had Amber eat it, and she was like, "I need some more salt."
Was the fish cooked properly? Yes. Was the fish seasoned? No. What were the strong notes of flavor that I was supposed to get out of that fish?
You were supposed to be getting garlic. And
didn't get that.
Dang. Okay.
But I eat it? Hell yeah. And do I cook? Hell no. So that's why I didn't bash it or anything.
And wine. I used white wine.
Yeah, I was like, what strong notes of flavor am I supposed to get from this bit? He was like, white wine. I was like, that's where I can see that. I was like, am I supposed to get some hints of lemon? Am I supposed to get some zest and spice? So for me, the flavor profile was just not that strong.
There was a lot of paprika. It was a lot of paprika.
A lot of paprika.
And then you're supposed to get the sweetness of the red wine. I didn't get the white wine.
Was it red or white? I don't know.
It was white wine. And with the sweetness of the red pepper. That's why. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I actually went to a mixer last night for about an hour and a half, and your fish had more flavor than that mixer. I'll say that.
Hey.
I would rather be home watching films with you and eating, you know, lightly seasoned fish than be at that mixer. Woo. And that's really all that matters, right?
It does. Yay. Oh, and then I cleaned. That's another thing that a dad does. He cleaned, so I cleaned not only the kitchen, but I cleaned the coffee pot, which you put half a white vinegar and then half of water, and then you press the clean button. But a lot of people don't do that, so their coffee gets nasty. Their coffee cleaner gets nasty. And
exciting.
Then I also changed the water filter.
Ooh, exciting things happening here in the Wallen household.
I know how to do the things that need to get done.
You really do. You're in a sing-songy mood today. I'm kind of feeling it. So I've been up to some things as well.
And that segment was called That Dad Life. We're going to make some segments. And now, now we're on to the next segment, which is called Creator Life.
So. I'm sorry, 2 years into the show, you've got some segment ideas. I like that, though. That's really cute. So,
what's the Creator Life happening about you, Amber?
In the Creator Life, I've been saying this on socials, but I finished the documentary. It is done. I'm making some final touches. Ben had a viewing of it the other night. For those of you who don't know.
So good.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, we are making a documentary that basically follows the months that I was pregnant and those couple months after. So it just the full journey, it's like a bigger extended vlog and just some more vulnerable content and some pieces of my birth story that weren't really shared with everybody. But every birth story is super unique and worth telling. So I just really hope that people feel more compelled to share their birth stories with me and with other people, because I have found that those conversations mostly just happen in kitchen tables away from the men at all parties. And so I just want to give and make people who have done this before feel more free to share that story and share their postpartum journey, because it really is traumatic. It's traumatic, it's dramatic, it's melodramatic, it's all of the addicts. It's all of the Maddicks. So I can't wait for that to premiere. I'm having some really hard time finding somewhere to screen it in LA. I've emailed, I've done inquiry forms, I've DM'd people, and I haven't gotten back to me yet. But
I know. We're gonna get a theater. Amber goes through these moments of insecurities, like For example, Amber did not get a role for something, and then mm-hmm. she also just finished the documentary. And so after not getting this role, she watched the documentary. She's like, this is the worst thing I've ever made. And it was like hours of work. And so she was feeling really insecure about it. And then she's like, can you watch it? And then...
because I've just seen it since its inception. Yeah.
It was great. But it was sort of the thing where, like, you might have a moment where you've mm-hmm. messed something up, and then you're like, now everything in my life is terrible. Like, you might get a fight with your mom or your dad, and then you're like, my romantic relationships suck, even though those relationships are different. Or, like, you know, you peed in the toilet and then you miss the spot in the toilet and then you get pee everywhere. Like, I'm just a sloppy mess, even though the rest of your life is really organized.
It's not that, Ben. What happens is when you are a creator and an artist, and let's say you go on stage and you tell your jokes and you bomb, okay?
Yeah.
There is this minute of, okay, well, if I bombed Monday night, there's a likelihood now that I will bomb on Wednesday night. So sometimes you're like, should I be rewriting new jokes, or was it just that audience? So I was having that space of like, I think the documentary is funny and entertaining, but I just auditioned for something and I think I'm funny and entertaining. And they were like, you know, I know they didn't say you're not, but they definitely didn't say you are. Yeah. So that made me feel like, are some of these other things I'm making not as funny as I think they are as well? Because I think I did a good job over here and I did it. But you know, I'm reading too much into it. I know I am.
But it just made me think, though, of another topic for your AMP show. So Amber has this fantastic show that I'm going to plug right now. It's on the platform called AMP, and it's basically radio but through an app. And Amber does a live show. You can call in,
yep.
And it's called Bad Advice with Amber, and she gives bad advice and sometimes good advice. But here's the thing. I was thinking, like, there are these moments that everyone has in their life, and they're called confidence destroyers.
Confidence?
I was playing basketball and I got a busted lip. It's called confidence destroyers.
Got it. So no coffins.
No coffins.
The
confidence destroys you, and sometimes you put yourself in a coffin.
Metaphorically speaking.
So you could make a show where people call and talk about those moments where their confidence was just completely destroyed.
That's actually a really good idea. I think I'm going to do
destroyer
that.
Destroyer events, yeah.
Yes, I think I'm going to do that. I would probably do something different, like confidence chaos or something.
Yeah,
because I just like alliteration.
Confidence cataclysms.
Well, maybe not that, but confidence catastrophes.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but I just which is so bizarre because not to sound like a narcissist, but I'm a pretty confident person. So when these things happen, I'm kind of like I am experiencing a new feeling of self doubt. Well, I have self doubt a lot, but
feel like like the peasant, like the rest of us.
I know I don't typically feel insecure like you other girls, but I'm very excited now. Now that it got your stamp of approval, because you do know this whole story and you do know some of the trauma that I experienced. So if it's not boring to you who knows the beginning, middle, and end of the story, then I feel really good about it. And yeah. Ben got a little misty-eyed. I've shared a trailer recently, so I'm really excited.
Oh, I didn't get misty-eyed. There were full raindrop tears.
I'm like, you know how this goes, and you're still over there. So, I don't know. I'm very excited about it. So, LA, get your shit together. Email me back. Yeah. I'm sitting here saying, I'm paying to rent the space. How much? And they're like, still like, just not responding. Whatever. Anyway, the people that do like, respond.
You're not an established filmmaker, you know?
Yeah, no. Which, I mean, fair. So, speaking of people that do respond, we have another incredible Apple Podcast review. Thank you so much for your reviews, everybody. As you know, we read them on the show. So, let's keep one going right now. This person, which is XO_B, says, proud fan. You guys are so amazing. I first saw Amber on TikTok and I was instantly hooked on laughter, watched her through her pregnancy, and was excited we had the same due date. Did the baby come on? I'm sorry. I just have to zoom this in. I'm so sorry. I need some glasses. Did the baby come on that day? Well, no. Same, friends. Same. Seeing all your videos helped, and it still helps me when my anxiety is bothering me. I go watch your videos. I downloaded AMP to tune into her show on Tuesdays, and it has become the only day my husband has to shut up and keep the baby. I have yet to build up the courage to call in, but I will one day. Oh, please do. You give me some of the best advice and the worst advice. I love it. I told my husband, my girl Amber, have another platform, but you have to pay. He already knew what was up. I love the Wildin family, and I love what you guys are doing. Thank you so much. This means a lot to me.
This is a confidence booster.
It is a confidence booster, because goddamn, my confidence right now is like, well, I actually kind of got over the role already.
You recover quickly.
I did recover. I was like, you know what? I actually wouldn't have been a good fit on this show. Like, looking back, I was like, my comedy actually doesn't fit this.
Y'all suck.
Y'all... I was the best thing you never had. Anyway, you want to get into the book?
Yeah, so Amber and I are reading this great book together. We've taken like 6 weeks to read it, which that's okay. You can spend 6 weeks reading the same book, especially when it's like a short story collection. So we read four short stories.
We did.
The first one was Once Upon a Time in 1967 by Oy Dunton. Go back to that. Demolola Amuez. Wow. Sorry.
That was not your busted lip. That's just your white.
So we read this story, and it has werecats in it, and it's super fun. And I love the idea of
I thought it was werefoxes.
Oh, and there's werefox.
Like, but instead of werewolves, werefoxes.
But also, I was thinking, reading this, like, what other wereanimals would be awesome? And I was like, if I could transform like half squirrel, because I love rodents.
Oh, so boring.
They're so cute. And like the little, like Over the Hedge, I think recently went on Netflix, and there's such a cute like ADHD squirrel on there that's so great. And I just love squirrels.
See, I prefer like a bewitched dolphin of sorts, like a weredolphin.
A weredolphin. Yeah, but
or like a werekoala or something.
You can't go in on land.
You don't know the ramifications of a weredolphin. Yeah, maybe they have bat flight abilities and things of that nature at night. We don't know the rules.
I want to go back to the squirrels. Why do you hate squirrels? Because
they're so common.
But even in this story, the squirrels are annoying and like chattery and sort of.
So let's go back to your question. Why do I hate something that you just described as annoying?
Well, people just assume that's how they are. They're not actually like that. They're really great.
Yeah, but squirrels, you see those every day.
I know. There's something just mundane and...
Yeah, I don't like mundane.
Like how they're foraging and...
I want to see something that I don't see every day be a were. Even the were fox is more hype than the were squirrel.
Okay, so if you're a were squirrel, you can move about the world a little bit easier. Where like if you turn into a dolphin, it's hard to like walk down Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, but that's more entertaining to see than a squirrel doing what it always does. Just with
if a were dolphin walks down Sunset Boulevard, it's going to be captured. But if you're going, if you're a were squirrel, you can go into sort of like a little alley, turn into a squirrel, and sort of scurry around without anybody noticing you.
Boring. That's probably already happening. Boring.
LA is just filled with were squirrels.
Were squirrels, exactly. Anyway, this This story has to do with, okay, so this werefox, his name is Akeen, right? And then he goes and meets this water princess, Kimmy. And my favorite part of the story is at one point, this water princess, who's kind of scary and terrifying, asks Akeen, you know, because she's an all-powerful water princess, and she meets this bewitched creature. So naturally, her first question to this bewitched creature is, how does my hair look?
Yeah.
I was like, is this a joke? To which Akeen basically says, like, I mean, it's not my style, but like, you got it. So I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
right here?
This was a weird story. I think the author was trying to get into this idea of like where foxes as being metaphors for like mixed race, because he's sort of like alienated by his, you know, other like magical family, but then he also needs to like hunt humans, and there's a pretty gory scene of them like eating the flesh of a human.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love like in this story that the water princess is saying like, how's my hair look? And then he's basically like, it's not great. And then she basically says like, well, I really appreciate you for being honest with me. Most people are afraid of me. So that honesty that you just gave me about my hair, it has now made me trust you to take you to my underwater environment. I was like, okay. Like, it was a fine story. I mean, it kept me entertained.
Maybe she was testing him. You know how like sometimes you ask me like, do I look good? And
yeah.
And like you're looking for an answer. Like, you know you look good.
Right.
But you're trying to like.
Yeah. But I'm married to you. You know, yeah. This water princess, I've never went up to a stranger and asked them how my hair looked. Well, that's actually not true. Maybe like another woman in the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
But if they said that they didn't love it, like, what do I do at that point?
You go back to the drawing board. Or in this case, probably the water princess would have just drowned him.
Right. So I think she was like, wow, I, you know that I can drown and kill you, and you were still honest with me. So now we do, like, I want to take you to my underwater world, and please help us defeat Ika and rescue the slave girl. Like, there was a whole narrative. I also didn't really understand why the story was called Once Upon a Time in 1967. Did you?
Nope.
Because it kind of painted a picture, for those of you who saw Wakanda Forever, it kind of painted a picture of that sort of like underwater world.
No. Maybe it was like that's where it, like the time place was in a part of.
I mean, I know they had.
It was 1967.
I know they had water and bodies of water in 1967, but yeah, I was kind of just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the time frame was like 1967. There's probably a reason. If we go back and read it, that has to do with a metaphor of like a war that was happening. I didn't understand exactly the date. So, which is a good reason to move on.
Got it.
To
yeah.
The next story.
It's just sad now, because I feel like when a title is introduced to you for the first time, that might be the only thing you think of when you see that kind of title. So I loved, obviously, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino film. So I think mentally, when I read the title of this story being Once Upon a Time in 1967, I was like, oh, this might be a little bit of like a Western, a revisionist history. And then when that didn't happen, I was like,
you're like,
oh.
Your full fantasy with other realms. Yeah, the title seemed a little bit deceptive.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to hear, I don't know. If you're the author out there, explain how that title had, like, the 1967 had to do with the werefoxes and the water creatures. I don't know. Anyway, story number two is A Girl Crawls in a Dark Corner. My God, this story gave me chills.
This is like a very violent,
very
gruesome,
very
bloody story. But it's a plantation story. So basically, you have a master forcing one of his slaves to circumcise young girls, I guess, we're not really sure. I think just for him to like rape them, I think.
And they won't feel any stimulation, which they wouldn't when you're raping them.
It was
a graphic
story. But at one point, the way the story ends is that this, the main character, Six, like this ghost onto the master that sort of feeds off like his blood, and the master dies in this pretty gruesome way.
Yeah, he's like cutting his neck like and like gutting his own throat. I wanted the master to cut his own dick off. I think we really missed the opportunity, because if this master was so obsessed with just mutilating young girls and making one of his slaves, like one of the slave women, mutilate these girls, which of course she's just completely traumatized and brutalized day in and day out having to do this work. But if the master is forcing this slave woman to mutilate these young girls, I don't want you to be beheaded. I want the master to slowly saw off his own dick.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It becomes like this was pretty much the first like straight slasher kind of story we read. And I think that would have made it the most sense. There was one line where like these, the narrator says these demons, the slave masters, don't recognize their own children. And I think there's this idea that the master is also like raping his daughters as well.
Yeah, this master
and
is
you're just like
insane. Oh, I mean, yeah. All of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's a I don't know. I don't know. This story seemed a little bit different than the rest of the anthology so far, so it sort of took me by surprise.
Yeah, like, do you think like it was misplaced?
Yeah, I guess when you're like, I feel like this belonged in some sort of like horror anthology. But
yeah, I was, you know how we go back and forth about trigger warnings and stuff. I still actually don't know. Can I put my leg on you?
Yeah.
It just feels comfortable to do that. Thank you. I still don't know. I should probably not host a podcast with anybody else in the future, because I'm gonna be, at some point I'm going to be like, girl, I know you're talking, but can I just put my leg in your lap? Thank you so much. I really do go back and forth about trigger warnings, because sometimes I see them as spoilers for things I'm watching. Like, I remember I was watching Stranger Things, and then at the top of an episode or two, it'll be like, the following may contain suicide here or whatever. Maybe not Stranger Things, but like You and other movies. So I'm just kind of like, ah, you just spoiled it. Somebody's going to kill themselves. But this story low-key needed a little something, because to go from like the fox and the water girl saving the underwater world to female circumcision definitely felt like a big jump.
I was like, this is strange.
It was well written, though. And then, it was a captivating story, but I just, emotionally, it was really hard to make that pivot for me.
Yeah. Well, and then the next story, the Lady of the Yellow Painted Library.
Oh, so
which
good.
Is my favorite story of what we've read so far. This story sort of feels like a Neil Gaiman or like a Ray Bradbury kind of story. So there's an horror element, but it's sort of funny, you know?
It was. I got notes of Twilight Zone as well.
Yeah.
I loved
it. It's like
it.
Maybe a Twilight Zone. So basically this guy who sells rotary phones, one of his trips, he borrows a book from a library and loses the book.
Yes.
And the librarian is like this monster that like haunts him and
because
hunts
the book
him
is overdue.
Down.
Yes. I love it. Oh,
and
I love it.
I was like, and it just made me think of like, I think the story works really well because you take this mundane profession of a librarian.
Damn, so, drag librarians.
Well, it's just.
It could be action packed. You don't know. You don't know what kind of characters show up.
You know,
in the
actually, you said that. I recently was talking to someone whose mom was a librarian. She's like, yeah, he was telling me. Because I made that statement about the library being boring. He's like, not a public library. Like,
it'd be lit in there.
Yeah, my mom has seen a stabbing, a shooting in the library. And I was like, oh, no, I was talking about a library, you know, like in a university or something. But.
No, in middle school, there was a library that was right across the street from one of my middle schools. I always say one of my middle schools because I went to the same middle school in 6th and 7th and then a different one for 8th. But the 6th and 7th middle school that I went to, there was a library right across the street. So kids would literally skip school, go to the library, and like be fucking over there. So the library became known as like the place where, you know, people were air quote losing their virginity. I was like, what is going down in that library over there? Like, people are getting fucked in that library and skipping classes. So speak for yourself when you talk about the library being boring. Oh, no.
Sorry. No, that's okay.
I don't mean to say, oh, no, y'all. It's just the baby's up.
We're on our last story. So I definitely enjoy this story. The Lady of the Yellow Painted Library. A lot of fun.
My favorite story of the entire series so far, hands down.
For sure.
If you don't read anything but The Lady of the Yellow Painted Library, please read that. I'm not even going to spoil the end.
The next story we read was When the Mommy Wada Met a Demon by Mustafa Diop. And basically this story is about a witch who's been isolated from her village, but she is caring for the village as well. She has a daughter, and they welcome this like lonely child into their home, but the child turns out to be a demon. And I was like, that might be Amber and I's story. Where we like, we've welcomed this sweet child. I just love stories where like children are like seen as like the epitome of innocence, but we're like, actually, no, they can be quite as evil as an adult. Like, you know, there is no such thing as innocence in humanity.
I think, and not to drag the stories of that we just currently read, but this story just didn't do it for me. I don't know. I think we've read so many Mama Wati stories so far that this one, right after the Yellow Painted Library, just felt like we've read something like this before. I'm not sure. Based on like all of the things that we've read on this show.
I'm going to say there are so many books written about Greek myths, and we hear Jupiter and we hear about Zeus all the time. So I think for this, we did read a couple of Mama Wada stories.
Yeah,
that
this is like the third one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just part of the mythology, right?
Of course,
like
of course.
When you're doing that. So I thought what made this story different was taking innocence, a child, and then like that being manipulated for your own purposes. And I see very much that happening now in like American political society and culture, where things are being manipulated, like children are pawns. That's
of course,
a phrase. And I thought this was like a good metaphor of that.
I know. I just think stylistically, it didn't do it for me. I remember having to restart this story like several times and thinking to myself, wait, have I read this story already? Like I was just having that moment a couple of times. Maybe it was like the water girl from the first story, there's a water girl in a past story, or maybe I was just running together like everything from Wakanda Forever to Beloved. I was like, I've seen a bewitched child somewhere before, so I feel like this story for me didn't contribute anything that unique. But you're right, like obviously there's been tons of stories about Hercules
and tons of stories about better notes. You got to start taking better notes. It's like, this story is this thing, is this thing. Maybe some of these stories do require you to like close read.
Yes, of course. I mean, but I this story felt a little derivative to me. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, y'all, we got to get out of here.
We don't have to.
We're doing our absolute best, but we're raising a baby and our lives are
different
now.
No. We're
dang, not hitting me.
We're doing great. Yeah.
We're doing a great job.
Yeah. We're doing great.
She's slowly just playing around. She's not crying, but she's definitely where are they at?
Amber is staring at
the baby. That's my baby. That is my baby. What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, talking about evil babies, I guess we should
go be parents.
Go be parents. Thank you all so much for listening. In conclusion, come back next week. I'll have new segments.
Oh my goodness. Will we?
Yeah. And we're going to keep reading this story. We're going to keep living our lives and discussing what it's like to raise a child and what it's like to be a full-time creator. So.
Yep. And the documentary is coming out. Just please be, you know, stay by your computers and your phones the top of May for sure. May 2023.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.